Well, my workshop is to talk about the heart of anger. I hope it will be very practical. I don't pretend that we will get to the heart, every cause behind an angry outburst. But you know, it's interesting to think about when a person is at least externally angry, there's symptoms, aren't there? What are some of the symptoms of being externally angry? What happens to the face? Okay, red, and I got naturally rosy cheeks, but yeah, the face usually gets flushed. What happens to the jaw and the fists? They tighten, right? What happens to the veins in the neck? They start to bulge. What happens to the heart? Beats a little faster. The hands get sweaty. And what do people do to doors? Slam them. They're holding something in their hand, they put it down. It's not the feather touch, right? They set it down hard. These are all symptoms that let us know that, hey, this person's mad. This person's angry. But oftentimes, when we see anger, we don't think of anger being a symptom of something else. Because, you see, anger is an emotional response. And we should always be asking ourselves the question, what is it a response to? Okay, and just like you can see the symptoms of anger physically, we need to understand that when we see anger, it is a symptom of something else, something deeper. And just like when you're weeding, okay, if you want a permanent solution to your weeds, what do you need to do? You need to pull them up from the roots. And the same thing too with an anger problem. If you want to have a permanent solution to your anger problem, you got to get down to the roots, to what caused that anger, and then you will be able to deal with anger in a more permanent way. A lot of times we just deal with the angry outbursts. We need to get a little bit deeper. So that's kind of my goal today. And I'm just, once again, I'm going to throw out some causes of anger that we find exemplified in Scripture. And I don't pretend that these are all the causes, but hopefully it'll get us thinking. My main goal for this workshop and the few minutes that we have is when you see anger in yourself, or parents, when you see anger in your teen, that you think, what caused that? And you start fishing for the heart of anger. And realize this too, and I think this is important to understand, that anger can really be a window to the condition of the inner man. And sometimes, you know, we see anger as being very negative, and it is. It's very destructive. But sometimes anger can be a great opportunity because it allows us to poke and to prod into deeper things that are actually more serious. So, and I think we'll see that when a person is angry in a wrong way, that it reflects, in some way, it reflects a deficiency of their view of God, or a deficiency of their view of self, or a deficiency in their view of others. Okay, and I'll hopefully explain that as we go through this. Now, I just have to point this out because this always cracks me up, but of course the world has their own diagnosis of what is the cause of anger. And check this out. This is actually a medical condition that maybe you have. This is called the IED, Intermittent Explosive Disorder. I think Harvard and Chicago universities, they estimated that 4% of Americans have IED, which means you're a ticking time bomb. And furthermore, most of those people, according to this survey, probably own guns, which is probably the anti-gun thing. So this might be, you know, from the world's thinking, this might be one of the causes, or borderline personality disorder, which results in fits of rage, or odd, which is opposition. Oh, I'm standing in the way of my own person. Sorry. I'm odd. Let me turn this here. That's a problem. Oppositional defiant disorder. And so, you know, the world is gonna have their own diagnosis, and these are medical. And so, of course, you treat this with psychotherapy and with drugs. And just like you can treat fears, okay, with anti-anxiety drugs. You can treat depression with antidepressants. So too, the world says, hey, anger problem, we can treat that too medically, okay? But of course, that doesn't work. And one of the problems with having a medical diagnosis for a moral problem is that it allows the person, it gets the person off the hook. Okay, to be accountable for their own actions. And then there's other, a lot of people, the world will see anger being a response to fear. Okay, and even somebody said this, it's a completely normal, which I would agree, it is normal. But then they go, usually healthy human emotion. It's not healthy. Most of the time it's very destructive and damaging. And so once again, the world starts, of course, the world starts from a philosophy that man is basically good. And so they have to explain this. Either the cause is either something medically wrong with you or something about your environment or your childhood, rather than putting the finger straight on where the problem is, which is us. So that's the world's diagnosis. Let's go on and let's look at some examples in Scripture that I think gives us a window into the heart of why people get angry. And there will be some overlap with Dr. Newcomer here. Let's start first with anger. I'm going to give you four things today, four causes of anger, one of them being jealousy. Okay, and I use the story of Abel and Cain, just like Dr. Newcomer did, and he pointed out that Cain wanted the acceptance from God. But I think also too you see there that you see there in that first part, the Lord respected Abel, but he did not respect Cain's offering. So then Cain gets very angry. And by the way, God says there, you see that in blue? God says, why are you angry? And parents, that's the question to get at the heart of anger. Okay? Why are you angry? And listen for what they say. Okay, you're listening for the causes because of this or that person. So why are you angry? And you notice then, so Cain is very angry, and who does he take it out on? He takes it out on Abel, okay, when he kills Abel. And so I would suggest to you not only the issue of acceptance, but also there seems to be some jealousy, okay, some a little inequality going on here. Okay, God, you accepted Abel's offering, but you didn't accept mine. What's wrong with my basket of fruit? Okay, and so this Cain allows himself to harbor this anger, and then eventually he lashes out at his brother and kills him. All right, and let me give you more of a modern-day example of a scenario that might happen. Okay, this is Joe the teenager. And by the way, jealousy can happen in a couple different ways. First of all, you can be jealous of the fact that you don't have what everyone else has or what someone else has. Okay, so somehow you're getting the short end of the deal. Or it can be flipped. You have something that other people don't have. Why me? Okay? Why do I have cancer at age 25? I don't have cancer. Okay? Why me? Okay, and so there can be that jealousy. Here the scenario is Joe the teenager has multiple health problems that have resulted in limitations of what he can do, and he needs to take medication. And so then you see the surface symptoms is that Joe frequently explodes in anger towards his parents, siblings, and friends. Okay, so he's angry, and that needs to be dealt with because that's a wrong response, but he's responding to something in his life. Okay, and what really it is jealousy. Because this is not fair. This is not fair that I have this and everyone else doesn't. Okay? Why don't I have that too? Or why do I have this and others don't? It's just not fair. Okay, and what's the problem with this? Okay, once again, remember I talked about how anger usually is a deficiency in our view of God or ourselves or others. Okay, and what's deficient in this view? What's deficient with this in our view of God? Who gave that person his physical problem? God did. God was behind that. God's good hand was behind that. And see, this is how we start to help ourselves and other people, is that when we move beyond the anger and we say, hey, it was caused by jealousy, that gives us an opportunity to teach about God and say, hey, son or hey, daughter, I know this is tough for you, that you have to go through this, but let me explain something to you. God is in control of your life, and God has allowed this for a good purpose. Trust in his goodness. And And then you're starting to teach them about God, and also you're starting to get more towards the heart of anger. Any questions about this one? Okay, by the way, your handouts have all of this, so you don't need to fill anything in. You can just write notes in around, and we'll try and leave a few minutes for questions at the end. Okay, let me go to a second one, anger being from injustice. I use the example of Esau and Jacob and Esau, and we know the story. Dr. Newcomer pointed that out today, how Jacob disguised himself and really stole the blessing. And so then you see there Esau hated Jacob, and really, in some ways, his anger is justified to some extent. I mean, and once again, and I don't know, there's a session here on sinless anger, and anger against injustice is actually can be a right form of anger. Because after all, that is actually mirroring God. But so in some senses, his anger is at first, okay, that's a natural response to injustice. But then he lets that anger consume him to the point of where now, look what you can see there in the middle, he's intending to kill his own brother. You know, it's amazing, these first two examples, this is hatred in a family against two brothers, and it gets to the point of murder or wanting to murder. How strong and damaging anger is. Okay, and so this is from injustice. Jacob wronged Esau, and Esau harbored that anger and waited for an opportune time to kill his brother. This story, of course, has a happy ending, because later on it appears as though Esau forgave Jacob and they were able to restore their relationship. All right, so let me give you a modern day scenario. Okay, Sue teenager. Like my generic terms here. Sue teenager has just found out that Mary, her friend, has been talking about her to other people, telling them all about an embarrassing personal situation. Ever been there? Now everybody knows. And people will never look at Sue the same way again. Okay? And so then these are the symptoms. Sue often gets angry and lashes out when Mary is around. Okay? So here Sue has been wronged by her friend. She's been hurt, damaged. There's been injustice. Okay, and Sue has harbored that, and it results in her lashing out in anger, not only towards her friend, but also towards other people. So this is the heart of this is when I've been insulted, offended, or hurt. And this happens often, right? In our homes, in our churches, in our workplaces, it happens all the time. But once again, what is the deficiency, okay, when there is injustice in our life, we've been wronged, we've been hurt, offended, and we respond in anger, okay, what is the deficiency in our view of God and a deficiency in the view of ourselves and of others? First, yes. Okay, so once again, God's control has allowed this. Who is the avenger of injustices? God is the avenger, not us. And see, what happens is we forget that God is our avenger, and we take His place. Okay, that's the deficiency in ourselves. We think that we have the right and the power to trade a slap for a slap. Okay, furthermore. How is it deficient in our view of other people? We are called to love those even that hate us and spitefully treat us. And we lose sight of our calling to love one another, which is best shown when we are mistreated by them. All right. And of course, the need to forgive is another thing. So once again, this is an opportunity to teach about God, yourself, and other people. All right, let's go on to another one, irritations. You ever get provoked to anger? Use another example that Dr. Newcomer did, okay, the one with Moses. And, parents, you think that you have it tough with whiny kids who will always complain, try 2 million people, and you've done your best, and this is a job you did not sign up for, and you never wanted, and you got to lead these complaining group of 2 million people who are always whining and complaining. You can never do a good enough job for them. And so finally, it looks like this gets to Moses, okay? He finally allows the irritations to get to Moses, and you can see the people are there. If only we had died. Why have you brought us up? Of course, and Moses didn't bring them up. God brought them up. Why have you made us come up out of Egypt? Okay, and then Moses responds, and he says, "Hear now, you rebels." He's lashing out verbally. And then he takes his stick and he strikes that rock. Can you see that? Okay, "Hear now, you rebels." Wham, wham. Okay, and this is Moses allowing the irritations to finally get to him and to respond in anger. Okay, now of course, the sad thing about this story is that this is just a momentary lapse of self-control on Moses' part. Okay, how often do we have momentary lapses of self-control? And yet, what great consequences, right? I mean, Moses really missed out. I mean, the whole goal was to go to the promised land. And so Moses got all the work, but he never got to not the blessing of going into the promised land. And it was because of this momentary lapse. Okay, and this is the danger of anger. This is why we need to allow the Spirit to control us and not ourselves, because a momentary lapse can result in great damage and lifelong consequences. I mean, you think if you slug parents, if you allow yourselves in a moment of irritation and anger and you slug your child, I mean, that might damage your relationship with your child for life. All right, so irritations, this is for mom now. I wanted to point the finger at everybody this morning. I got mom, dad, Sue the teenager, Joe the teenager. So here we go. Mom is perpetually irritated by the immaturity and thoughtlessness of her teenage son. He walks through her clean house, forgetting to wipe his feet. He complains about what she makes for dinner. He talks about nothing other than football. Okay, mom finally can take it no longer and lashes out in anger towards her son. Okay, so this is allowing irritations to get to you. Okay, and this is where we allow the complaint, personality quirks, and the immaturity. I just can't stand him. He makes me so mad. Okay, what's the problem? How does this show a deficiency in God, ourselves, or others? Well, first of all, I put this here. Okay, first of all, I think we need to understand that when we lash out in anger, that I have a problem that I need to deal with first. Okay? So I'm losing sight of my own sinfulness. In fact, it's interesting, you know, when Moses is striking, you know, he's saying, "Hear now, you rebels." Who's the rebel? Moses. Moses is the rebel against what God had commanded. Okay? So we're so focused on the irritation of what that person makes me so mad, and we don't realize that I'm being controlled by my flesh and that I need to deal with my own sin issues first, okay? But also, too, you know, love overlooks an offense. And the other thing, too, is we've lost sight of our need to love that other person despite their immaturity and personality quirks and so forth. Okay, one final one here, frustrations. Okay, do you ever get frustrated and you lash out in anger? This, of course, and it was brought up, this is a great story. This is probably the ultimate comedy story in the entire Bible with Balaam and his donkey. Balaam had a job to do. He had been hired to curse the Israelites. So he got up that morning, okay, and saddled up his trusty donkey, his trusty transportation, to go do his job and make a quick buck, okay? So he's real focused. I mean, he wants to do this. And so his donkey is going, and all of a sudden, you can see there at the first blue line, the donkey turns aside out of the way. So they know this way, the donkey turns and goes into the field. Okay, what happened to my trusty transportation here? Okay, and so you can see there, Balaam struck the donkey. It's frustrating. Why can't my donkey go in the right direction? Okay, and then you can see there, again, the donkey turns. And this time, apparently, they're going through a walled area. And the donkey pushes wedges up against the wall, and it crushes Balaam's foot against the wall. You can see that there in the blue. You dumb donkey. You just hurt my foot. We got a job to do. Okay, and then you can go on. So he struck her again. And then finally, the donkey just gives up. And you can see that the donkey just lays down. Okay? And so then, this is it, man. So Balaam, you can see there's anger is aroused, and he strikes the donkey with his staff. Dumb donkey. It's frustrating. Okay, why can't my car work? All right, so this is anger that stems from frustrations. It's a frustrated purpose. Okay, Balaam wanted to get where he needed to go and do his job, make his money, that type of thing. Okay, so anger from frustration. But here's the thing. Okay? And this is so neat about this story. Okay? Balaam was frustrated from what he was trying to do. But you know that was really the grace of God? Because you know what God said later on in this passage? God said later on, because it's the angel of the Lord with the drawn sword was standing in front of the donkey. Balaam couldn't see him yet. God said later on, if that donkey had not turned, I would have killed you. I would have killed you. And we don't often think of frustrations as being a blessing. That maybe that's God's grace in frustrating our purposes because either he doesn't want us to do that or he's protecting us from some danger. Maybe, you know, if your car doesn't start that morning, maybe God preserved you from an accident. And we don't think that way. Once again, let me give you a modern example here. Frustrated. Here we go, Dad. Dad is trying to finish a project around the house. He keeps getting interrupted. Phone keeps ringing. Kids are running around. This is what happens in our house. Getting in the way. Then his teenage daughter tells him that she needs a ride to the store to get supplies for a project that is due tomorrow. Why didn't you tell me this earlier? And so slowly, and Dad is like, oh man, this is project night. I was going to get this fixed and this fixed and this fixed. And I got all these interruptions. And now my daughter needs to go to the store for this project that's due tomorrow that we could have done this days ago. And finally, all these frustrations just build up, okay? And Dad lashes out in anger. Okay? And so this is when someone, something or someone gets in the way of what I want to accomplish. And it might even be me. Okay, how does this show a deficiency? What is, in terms of God, in terms of myself, in terms of other people? Good. Okay, it's like we're the sovereign of our life, the king of our life, and I've got my own agenda, and I'm going to get it done. And we forget that I'm not Lord of my life. God is in control of my life. He sets the agenda. And, you know, sometimes even anger is a tool of manipulation where I'm trying to control my life. And we're really taking God's place again. Okay? And again, we're allowing the frustrations and then lashing out in anger, we're losing sight of our need to love other people. Okay, so once again, this is just showing a deficiency. And I put that there, and that God, okay, God is frustrating your purposes, allowing you to be frustrated, and it may be that God has a different and a better plan. Okay, a different and a better plan. And he's using circumstances to direct you in his will for the day. All right, I'm going to sum this up here, and then maybe a few minutes for questions. So unlocking a couple things I think that anger shows us, big picture, is this. When I lash out in anger, it shows a lack of self-control. Okay, it's a work of the flesh. I'm not being controlled by the Spirit. I'm being controlled by my flesh. And so this is what's helpful about it, is that if I show a lack of control, self-control over my emotions, then it may very well be that there's a lack of control with something else in my life, like with my eyes or with my stomach, okay, or with my tongue. One of the things I would exhort you, parents, is that I would exhort you that if you're, like for instance, if your son is angry, has a pattern of angriness, I would probe and see if maybe he is having issues with pornography. Okay? He can't control his emotions. What makes you think he can control his eyes? It's not uncommon for an angry person to also be struggling with pornography. Okay, so once again, the anger is a window into that heart of something deeper that might be going on. Okay, like we mentioned, anger shows that I have lost sight of God's control over the circumstances of my life, or that I am unhappy with His plan. And this is where we need to teach ourselves and other people that God is the sovereign, and that His plan is best, and accept it, and rest in that. Deficiency in myself shows I'm trying to control the circumstances of my life to conform to my desired end. And once again, who made you boss of your own life? And you can't, even if you can't manage your life to make it come out the way that you want it to come out. Anger takes God's place in avenging wrong. Only God is the avenger of injustice. And then anger is very me-centered. It's all about righting what's wrong. And it loses sight of the other person, because anger, the problem with anger is its impact on other people. And you lose sight of that need to love. Okay. Any questions?